Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Here are some highlights and prophetic ministry from this service.
You can be seated. I hear the Lord saying, this is the time of the new. This is a time of the new strength. This is the time of the new open door. This is the time of fresh guidance for you. For many of my people have become faint in doing the right things, in fighting the right battles, yet a faintness, a weakness, almost ready to stop. But the Lord said, I meet you at the stopping point. I provide water, I provide strength, and give you new direction, new things, Lord. New things, the Lord says, that I am doing in your life and through your life. But I brought you to this place today so that I could accelerate the new. This is a time to begin again. This is a time to grab hold of the new that I have for you, says the Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you. Celebrate me, says the Lord. Celebrate with me also, says the Lord, for I am doing a work in you. You may not see it, because I am working your foundation. I am repairing and I am strengthening your foundation. And your foundation being strong is important, because I'm building a big house for you and with you. And you must have a strong foundation. And that is what I'm doing in your life. So celebrate with me, for you will be strengthened. You will have what you need to have. Those things that have been hiding and missing and slipping and falling, I am working on, says the Lord, and you will be strengthened. Celebrate me and celebrate with me, says the Lord.
Now let's go into the service for today's message.
We're here in the sanctuary at Gateway City Church. I want to welcome you if you're listening online. Everybody here in the sanctuary, just take your teaching outline, get ready. In the cafe, you should have a teaching outline. And wherever you can hear my voice, we are excited to be together, focusing on the Word of God. We are beginning our 50 days of transformation. And a look in our church over the next 7 weeks, 50 days together, on seven areas where God wants to transform our lives. This is going to be exciting, and it's all built around our theme verse, which is Romans 12:2. I'd like to invite you to look at the screen or at your teaching outline, and let's read this verse together out loud. Big, strong voices. This is the Bible, God's Word. Let's read it together. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That is such a powerful, powerful truth. And you see that big word transformed there. And that's a really special word in the Bible. We're going to unpack that a little bit later. But I want to draw your attention to the importance of the renewing of your mind. You know, if you want your life to change, it starts with your thoughts. Your thoughts are so powerful. What you're thinking about as you work, what you're thinking about in your relationships, what you think about God actually determines every detail of your future. So some people say, well, I wish my life would change, so I'm going to get some plastic surgery. Or I wish my life would change, so I'm going to move into a different city or a different house. Or I wish my life would change. If I just had money, then my life could change, right? But the truth is, that is not, those things may alter your life. They may alter the detail. But for you and I to be truly changed, transformed, it is a work of God through Christ by the Holy Spirit that takes place, called the renewing of your mind. Now, sometimes the reason that our life has not changed is because we haven't gotten our mind properly prepared for that change. So walk with us over the next 7 weeks. Walk with us and let's believe for a transforming work in your brain and in your way of thinking. If you want to change your life, You have to change your mind. How many would like your life to change? You'd like to see some things. Three of you. That's overwhelming. Thank you. I know I snuck up on you, but let me ask that question again. How many of you would like your life to be changed and transformed? Awesome. All right. You're in the right place, and I'm glad you're here today. So we talked about these seven areas of transformation. By the way, as Pastor Albert mentioned earlier in the message, in the service, our vision is transformed lives, changed lives. And to be a part of inspiring that process for many, many people's lives to change, changing cities and changing families. That's something so important. There are seven areas, and I'll run these down for you. The areas where our lives can change is our spiritual lives, our relational lives, our physical lives, our mental lives. Oh boy, I think I might need a mental change. That sounds good. Emotional, financial change can come to our lives, and even our vocational lives can change by the power of God. We can move from empty to full. We can move from defeat and failure to faith and victory. We can move from fear and insecurity to a place of confidence and boldness in every one of those areas if we will follow the Lord. Now, this process of transformation is a total and complete change. It's not just a little alteration of your life, but something that changes from the inside out. And we believe this is a work from God. Now today, we're going to focus on area number one. We're going to start with the spiritual side of our lives. Because the spiritual side of our life is the driver for every other kind of change, every other kind of good change that God wants to make in our lives. And we're going to talk about the issue of being close to God and the importance of drawing near to Him. And I want to start with this thought. And if you hear nothing else that I say this morning, please catch this. It is that the closer we get to God, the more our lives is transformed. Now, there's a reverse rule, an inverse version of that truth. And it would go like this. The further away from God you get, the more trouble you're going to have in life. How many have ever experienced that? Some people in this room, maybe that's where you're at today, right now, as we speak, you may not be super close to God, and you're going through a lot of trials, a lot of pain, a lot of trouble. Can I offer you a really great promise? If you're willing to turn in your direction and get closer to God, your life really can begin to change. That's how our lives change. We can't really change ourselves. God has to change us. So as we make our spiritual life the most important thing, that's where the process of transformation really kicks off. Now, we ask the question, why don't more people experience closeness to God? How is it that we get away from God or we fall into a category of not being close to God? How does that happen? As I said in the first service, if you feel like you're far from God, guess who moved? God didn't abandon you. He didn't abandon me, right? What do we do as people? As people, we wander off. We're just like sheep. In fact, one of the beautiful pictures of Jesus and who he is to us is he's our shepherd. And that makes us like sheep. Now, if you know anything about sheep, they just kind of graze off. They'll graze themselves right off a cliff sometimes. Sheep aren't real strategic about the moves that they make. They just kind of go with whatever's kind of in front of them. And I know I can relate to that in my own life. Sometimes I just wander off. The Bible says this, all we like sheep have gone astray. That's in the nature of human beings. And so every once in a while, we have to wake up, come to ourselves and realize, hey, I'm a sheep. I've wandered away from the shepherd. I'm doing life my way. I'm not doing life God's way. And I need to get back where I belong. So this is the dimension that we're starting with, the spiritual side of our life. And there's a story that talks about how to get closer to God. And I want to read this story to you. It's found, and it's going to be up on the screen if you're watching by video or here in the auditorium. Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 24. This is the famous story, the parable that Jesus told about the lost son. Let's take a look at it. Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, this younger son packed up all his belongings, and what does it say he did? He what? Moved to a what? Distant land. That sounds like distance from the father's house, right? This is what we're talking about. See, watch this story. He moved to a distant land, and there he wasted all his money in wild living. About this time, his money ran out. Now, see, when we walk away from God, that's when the trouble begins. That's where the job loss comes. That's where the family loss comes. That's where the peace loss comes. That's where the money loss comes. If you walk away from God, something is going to go wrong. And it says his money ran out, and a great famine came over the land, and he began to starve. And he persuaded a local farmer to hire him. The man sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. Yuck. Young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him. But no one gave him anything. And when he finally came to his what? He said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I am, dying of hunger. I know what I'll do. I will go home to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, there's that distance language. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. And he said to his father, son said to him, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you. I have sinned. And I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But his father said to his servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring on his finger and sandals for his feet, and kill the calf that we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast. For this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but he is now found. Isn't that a glorious story? I love that story. It's a story that Jesus told. And what he's trying to do is cover this base of how do people get away from God, and how do they make up their mind and come to a place where they say, I want to come closer to God. And whether you have received Christ as your Lord and Savior, I pray that you have. And if you haven't, you're going to have a chance to do that today. It's the most important decision of your life. But whether you've already done that or you've never done that, these principles that I'm going to share, these four things from this story, will help you understand the process of coming close to God. So let's take a look at it. I want to get closer to God. How do I do it? Number one, I must get fed up with my life. Did you notice in this story, this lost son, this prodigal son, how he had wasted everything? And he came to a place where he literally had nothing left. I'm not sure if that's a similar experience to something that you've gone through in your life. Come to a place where you're utterly at the end of yourself. You have nothing left. Your joy is gone. Your faith is gone. Your friends are gone. You know, loss is a pretty powerful experience in life. Well, this son, he had nothing left. And the Bible says that he became desperate and hungry, and then it says that he came to his senses. It's amazing how suffering and loss will focus your attention, isn't it? You kind of like, God gets your attention when you go through those tough times. And I want to just say this from the beginning. We're going to be together on this subject for 7 weeks, for 50 days. And I want you to know something. Nothing in your life can possibly change until you get fed up. Until you and I come to a place of dissatisfaction with the way things are. You got to be dissatisfied with how things are. Now, maybe you're here today and you're saying, hey, I'm just fine. I don't need any of this. I'm doing just fine. Then I would just humbly say to you, you're probably not a huge candidate for change. Because if you think everything's all right, if you think life is just fine the way it is, you're really not desperate, you're really not hungry, you're really not empty, and you're probably not going to come to yourself. But when you find yourself in trouble, when you find yourself in pain, loss, that's when something starts to move on the inside of you, and you become open to the process of change. You say, well, I don't know if there really is a God. If God is real, then why does he let me go through such loss? If God really loves me, why have I lost everything? Can I say something to you? It may be the exact purpose of this moment in your life. God loves you so much, he has allowed loss. Maybe he didn't author it. Maybe he didn't cause it. Let's not blame him. But in this moment of pain and loss, maybe God is saying to you, now will you get serious about me? Here's what Jeremiah said, Jeremiah 29. When you get serious, the Lord says, when you get serious about finding me and you want it more than anything else, I'll make sure you won't be disappointed. I'll turn things around for you. Amen. I love that Message translation. You know, the turnaround moment comes because of the pain, because of the loss. And let me just share this principle with you. Your pain and loss may well be trying to get your attention, redirect your attention. Don't be quick to blame God and say, shake your hand at God and say, where are you, God? God is saying, I'm right here in the midst of your loss and in the midst of your pain, and I'm trying to get your attention. You've wound up somehow, one way or another, far from me. Now you're hungry. Now you're broken. Now pig slop looks good to you. It's time for you to have an awakening. It's time for you to say, something's got to change. This is so true in every area of our life, spiritually. But think about physical fitness or your marriage or financial planning or whatever. You never really come to a place where something's going to change in your health or your finances or maybe an important relationship. It never really happens until you get into trouble. And then you say, wow, I got to take a look at this. And I've got to do some things differently. And this is exactly the point that we're making. You got to get fed up with your life. Got to get fed up with the way things are. I can tell you, I've shared, if you don't know me, I received Christ as a 14-year-old. I had a tremendous wake-up call in my life. Sometime I'll tell you the story, but I was thinking about this principle, about getting fed up, and I was thinking about the last week before I actually turned my life over to Christ. Now, I was a rotten, filthy sinner. I mean, I was doing stuff that no 14-year-old should be doing, no human being should be doing. I was lonely. I was depressed. I was burning out on drugs and alcohol. I was empty. I was living kind of like this prodigal, and I was getting sick of myself. I was getting sick of my friends. This was more than just teenage angst, you know, as a 14-year-old. There was some dark stuff taking place in my life. Some real empty places. I think about that last week. And you know, it was that last week that really prepared me and made me desperate enough to finally say, Lord, I need you really bad in my life. And I was kind of kicking and screaming all the way because I had done the church thing before and I didn't think it was for me. But you know, if you get hungry enough, you'll even give God a chance. How many know that's true? Did anybody in this room give your life to Christ because you woke up one morning just feeling so happy and excited about life that just decided that, you know, you would just dedicate yourself to the Lord? Did anybody have that experience? Most of us hit the wall. Most of us came to the end of ourselves and we got like willing. And now here's the point of all of this. Whenever it comes to change in our lives, it doesn't really happen until we come to that place. So at least we can feel thankful. If we're in a trial, if we're in a hard time, we can feel thankful for that because that may be what God is using to get our attention, to bring us back to a place of restoration, to the love of God, coming back to the house of the Father where a ring and a robe and a celebration is waiting for us. Amen. Now, here's the second piece of this. If you want to move, if I say, I want to get back to God, I want to be close to God, I have to own up to my, I have to rather get fed up with my life. And then second, I have to own up to my sin. It's very important that you and I not be blaming other people. I like the lost son because here's what he said. He said, Father, I have sinned against you and I have sinned against God. This guy is taking responsibility for where he's at in life. Those people over there didn't move him off into the far country. He got up and walked away from God all by himself. He ended up exactly where he was in the mess that he was in simply because he made choices. And you want to know how your life begins to change? You make different choices. You get fed up with where you're at. And then you own up to your sin and your mistakes and your choices. We can't begin to see our lives change just by getting sick of how our lives are. That's a good first step. But then you've got to own up and you've got to say, all right, this is my sin. This is my mistake. This is my problem. We have to admit that if we haven't been living God's way, we have to be honest with the reality. I've been doing exactly what I wanted to do. The way I wanted to do it. And look where it's got me. Isaiah 59:2 talks about how serious sin is. Sin's a problem if you ask God about it. He said, your sins have separated you from me. Caused me actually to turn my face away from you. You see, God is a holy God. And we want him to be holy. We don't want God to be a compromiser. We don't want God to be filled with darkness. We want him to be right. And pure, and he is, and he's holy, and he cannot countenance sin. Thankfully, he's made a way for our sins to be forgiven, right? He's made a way, and I'll talk about that in just a minute, but you might say, well, what sin do you think that I might be committing, Pastor David? I haven't robbed a bank. I'm not like some crazy person shooting people in the streets. I'm not a sinner. But you know, the Bible definition of sin is simply falling short. Just falling short, that's one of the definitions. And one of the greatest sins that the Bible talks about is one that I see so often in my own life and so often in people's lives. And it might surprise you, it's the sin of idolatry. What? I don't have idols in my house. I don't worship statues. No, that's not the kind of idolatry I'm talking about. Idolatry is when we allow anything besides God to become number one in our lives. For some people, work is their idol. They wouldn't dream of cutting a corner on work, but they'll cut corners on God all day long. For some people, it's a romantic relationship. They will do anything, including leave God, in order to stay in a romantic relationship. What is that? That's putting something ahead of God. Having a job or a romantic relationship is not a bad thing unless it's become number one for you. Money, hey, money is awesome. If you're done with yours, I'll take it. That's great. But it can't be, right? It can't be number one. Money is a terrible master. It's a beautiful slave. God should be first in our lives. And so it doesn't mean we're the world's worst sinner, although I think all sin is awful and it separates us from God and it's devastating in its reach. But don't be quick to excuse yourself and say, well, I'm not a sinner because I don't rob banks and I don't kill people. Anytime any of us put something ahead of God, we're falling short. We're sinning and we've created an idol in our lives and we need God's forgiveness. Let me just say this. You are as close today to God as you choose to be. God hasn't walked away from you. He hasn't walked away from me. But if we've made choices to create distance between us and God, we can unmake those choices. And like the prodigal son, we can turn around and head right back to God. We can make a choice today to set aside our sin, to allow him to free us from that sin and the power of it, to cleanse us from that sin, and to be close to God. I can't blame my mother and father for where I'm at today, spiritually. I can't blame the Republicans or the Democrats. I can't blame ISIS and there's only one person that I can really blame for where I'm at today. And that's me. Because I've made my own choices. But I can change my choices and I can come close to God. So let's get rid of the blame and let's own up to our own sin. Here's what 1 John 1:9 says. I love this version called The Voice. It says, but if we own up to our sins, wow. If we own up to our sins, God shows us that he is faithful and just by what? Forgiving us of our sins and purifying us from the pollution of all the bad things we did. God stands ready to wash away your sins and cleanse you and I instantaneously if we own up like the prodigal and say, Lord, it was me. I did this, see? And by agreeing with God and coming into a truthful relationship with the Lord, he's willing to wash that away. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ died on a cruel cross so that you and I could experience the power of this verse. So that all we would have to do is confess our sin, to come to God, to restore relationship. That's why Christ died, to bring us back into relationship with the Father and to cleanse all our sins. It's so simple to be honest with God and own up to our sins. It's like the other day, I bought a white shirt for a special occasion, and of course, right away, as soon as I wore it, I got food on it, big old, you know, stain. And my wife in our laundry area in the house, she has this blue goop called OxyClean. And you can put that goop on a stain if you catch it soon enough and then wash it, and all that pollution and stain comes out, and that garment comes back white again. How many of you would like to have some OxyClean on your soul, on your spirit? Just so you own up. First, you got to get sick of it. You got to get fed up. And then you have to be honest. You got to be honest with God and own up. And when you own up, God will cleanse and wash it away. Here's the third piece, okay? We're asking the question, how do I get close to God? We own up after we get fed up, but then we have to offer up. I offer up myself. I offer up myself. In Luke chapter 15, the story we read, if I was to read that to you in another version, the King James Version, the New King James, the New International Version, some of the more precise translations, they record there in the story how the son, and I shared this around Christmas time with us as I was sharing from that chapter. The son had said to the father, when he first wanted all the cash, remember he wanted his inheritance, he started off by saying, give me. Everybody say, give me. That's kind of a self-focused life. But then after all the suffering and he came to himself, then his request of the Father changed. He said, you gave it to me. I went through all this hell. And now I want to say this. Dad, make me like one of your servants. Make me. Are you there today? Are you in a give me relationship with God? Or are you in a make me? Lord, change me. Transform my life. We change, we transform, we get close to God when we stop saying, give me, and we start saying, Lord, make me. Make me something different. Change my whole life. We have to offer up our whole lives to God. The sign of surrender. And we read it in Romans 12. This verse, let's take another look at it. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Says, because God is merciful to you, offer yourselves. Offer up yourselves. Offer yourselves as living sacrifice, then be transformed. So we'd like to start with the change. God, if you change me, then I'll turn my life over to you. God says, no, you turn your life over to me and I'll change you. God says, you first, right? He says, you present yourself to me, a living sacrifice. Bow to me, bend your knee to me, surrender to me. You said, Pastor, I did that years ago. I received Christ as my Lord and Savior. What else have you got for me? When was the last time that you really offered yourself to the Lord? How long has it been since you really meant it with all your heart, Jesus, I want to offer my whole life to you. A lot of us are like this. We say, thank you, Lord, for saving me. Now I got it from here. I'll make all the decisions. Thank you, Lord, for saving me, for cleansing me. Thank you for the OxyClean on my heart. And now I got it from here on out. Lord, I'll decide where I live and who I live with and how I do it and what I do with my money and where my time goes and all of that. That's all up to me. No, here's the Christian life. Offer yourself to the Lord. Amen. Offer yourself wholly, a living sacrifice to Him. And that's where the process of transformed begins for us in our spiritual lives. That word transformed, you want to circle it on your outline. It's a beautiful Greek word you might be interested in. It's metamorpho. Does that sound like a word you recognize in English? Metamorpho. What does that remind you of? Metamorphosis, right? Which means a complete change. And God says, I'm not just going to alter your life. I'm going to bring a complete change from the inside out to your life once you offer yourself to me. You know, the process of a little worm becoming a butterfly is a metamorphosis. Starts off an ugly worm in a weird-looking cocoon, and it's not beautiful at all. But in the process of metamorphosis, that worm inside that cocoon changes form and becomes something different. It breaks out of the cocoon like its old life. It breaks out of that prison, that limitation, and it becomes something beautiful like a butterfly. I'm not sure if maybe today you feel like you're a little bit worm-like. Maybe you feel pretty low, just about as low as you can go. I know I did before I got saved. I felt awful about myself and how I was living. I literally felt like a worm. I look back on those days and I say, my God, thank you for changing me. You didn't just lead me somewhere, you changed who I am. And I want to say this to each and every person hearing my voice. God wants to change your life. He wants to metamorphosize your life. He wants to transform your life and make it beautiful. Now, let me challenge you. Your marriage can change and become beautiful. Amen. No matter how discouraged you are, if you are far away from God, whatever has happened in your life, I believe God can even change your health. God can change your financial picture. He wants to take every area of your life, every one of these seven areas, and transform you. But it begins by you offering yourself to God. You've got to turn your life over to the Lord. You say, well, if I do that, God will reject me. God doesn't want me. He doesn't. I've gone too far. I've messed up. I've made far too many mistakes. But that's not what the story teaches. The story teaches that when the son got sick of everything and he owned up to his sin and he turned around and changed direction and headed for the father, what did the father do? You lousy, good for nothing, ingrate son, why I oughta? Is that what he did? Did he do the old Alice in Wonderland? Off with his head. Remember that? Off with his head. Anybody does anything wrong, off with his head. No, God said, hey, bring him. The story said the father ran to him. Said, boys, get the robe, get the ring. Get the barbecue going. We're going to have a celebration. We're going to have a party. Hallelujah! Because my son was dead spiritually. He was gone. He was out of my life. Now he's coming back. God is not going to reject you. You confess your sins and you feel the shame of everything you've done. But God says, listen, let's not talk about the details of that sin. Let me just be your father. Amen. Let me just take you back to the house where the robe and the ring and the roast are waiting. Hallelujah. I like that. I'm getting hungry. All right, let me hurry up. Everybody say, I get fed up. I own up. I offer up. And then I lift up my song. I lift up my song. What did the father say? We're going to have a party. I love the last line of the story of the lost son. And so the celebration began. You see, what God has for every single one of us ahead is not a prison sentence. You say, if I give my life to God, he's going to take away all the joy. No, if you give your life to God, the celebration begins. That's what knowing God really is. It is a restoration of joy, a restoration of the ring, a restoration of the robe. The celebration begins. I lift up my song. I celebrate my new life in Christ. Look what God has done for me. Psalm 68 says, sing to God, sing praises to his name, lift up a song to him. His name is the Lord. I want to tell you something about the Christian faith. It's unlike any other faith in the world. It is a singing faith. It is a celebrating faith. It is a joyful relationship, because once you realize that your sins have been forgiven and you're not going to go through the cycle 27 million more times, you've got something to sing about. Once you realize you're on your way to heaven, once you realize God is for you and not against you, once you realize you can come boldly to the throne of grace to receive his grace and his help in any time of need, once you realize God is your help and the strength of your life, once you realize God is your fortress and your high place, a place where the enemy cannot get, man, that's where the joy starts coming back into life. Are you living life with joy? Is there a sing? Is there a song in your heart? Are you lifting up your praise to God? You know, I read praise is powerful. And I'm not talking about figurative singing. Can I say something to you? For your health and for your life to change and for your life to be different, can I say this to you? You need to start singing. I mean, really sing. I mean, singing in church, singing in your car. You say, you haven't heard my voice. But I'm going to tell you this, you need to break out into song if you're going to be happy and joyful. In fact, there was a study that I noticed online the other day. It was done in the year 2012, not by Christians, but by a Swedish university. And it was a study of worldwide cultures, cultures around the world, not just European cultures or whatever, of the importance of singing. And they asked themselves this question, why do people in Africa and Asia and Latin America and all over the world, why do they sing? And is there something that takes place in their life that makes it important for them to sing? And they did all the studies, and there were a lot of psychological benefits for singing, especially singing in groups, like in a choir or in a church. This is what the study said. There are emotional and psychological benefits, but there are even physical benefits, health benefits of singing in groups. Did you know that? Did you know if you sing in a group, your blood pressure drops? Say, Pastor David, why do you want us to sing in church on Sunday? Because I want your blood pressure to drop. I want you to live a long life. Amen. The study reveals that cortisol, the stress hormone, drops in your life. Stress comes off of you when you sing in church or in a choir. Did you know that? And the endorphins, the pleasure hormones that God has wired into your body, those are released. You will actually, from a physiological standpoint, you will have more joy in your life if you will lift up your voice and make a joyful noise to the Lord. In a few minutes, we're going to sing. And I just want to challenge you. When you come to church, lift up a song. Because if you're saved, if you know Christ, you really have something to sing about. And the joy of the Lord, as you begin to sing, will actually increase in your life. And you will lift your spirit, and you will even lift your body as you sing. We could all say what David said in Psalm 13, I will sing to the Lord because he has been so good to me. Musicians are coming out on the stage here, and we're going to have a few minutes to do that. We're going to sing in just a minute. But I want to just close with this. Because of Jesus Christ, and this is a very, listen, This is a very simple beginning to our 50-day journey together. You want your life to change spiritually, it's only through Jesus Christ. If you're away from God, Jesus Christ is the one that brings you back. If you want to be close to God, you can be as close as you choose. But you have to make up your mind. You have to turn your life over to Christ. And you got to remember this. The further I get from God, the tougher my life becomes. But the closer I get to God, the more my life will change. Do you believe that? Let's stand together. Let's just pray. Lord, I thank you for bringing us together. I thank you for the power of your word. I thank you for your Holy Spirit moving in this room right now, melting every defense, melting away our shame. Lord, we've all messed up. We've all, one way or another, we've all wandered off. But today you love us enough to welcome us back home. Lord, we want to be close to you. When we come to that place of total surrender, we offer up all that we are, our mistakes, our failings, and we want Jesus to be Lord of our lives. As we lift our voice in song, Lord, do something fresh and new in our hearts, Lord, as we say, Lord, reign in me. Let's sing. Hallelujah. Come on, Bria.
Let's sing, all that I have I bring.
Yes.
All that I have I bring. With all that I am,
yes, Lord.
I sing. All that I am,
ah, yes, Lord.
I bring.
Sing to the Lord. Open up your voice.
Reign in me, I will trust you. I will trust you and believe. Be the King of all of me. Reign in me. I will answer when you call. Be my Savior.
Bow your heads, everyone. We're talking about the spiritual side of our lives. It's not all about money. It's not all about friends. It's not all about houses and cars and pleasures. Our life really begins to change when we surrender our hearts. I want to invite you to surrender your heart afresh. It doesn't matter if you've been around forever, or you're just getting started in knowing God. He wants to be close to you. And he meets you at the point of your confession, your dependence, and your surrender. And he's here. You don't have to be ashamed. You don't have to be sad. He's going to change you now. We're going to put a screen, a prayer rather, up on the screen. I want to challenge you to say this prayer. There are our prayer teams are going to come here and join me here at the front of the church. If you guys would just make your way up, our few of our elders and some of our intercessors and godly people of prayer are going to be here. If you came today and you just need someone to connect with, maybe say a healing prayer for you, help you, talk to you for a minute, these people are here. But your life is actually not going to change because someone else prays for you. It's really going to change because you offer your heart to the Lord. Here's a prayer and an opportunity for you to do that. And whether you've been walking with the Lord for a long time or you've never really done this before, I want you to join me in this prayer right where you are, because your life is about to change through prayer. Let's say this prayer out loud together. Father God, here we go. Father God, thank you that when I lose my way, you still love me and welcome me back home. Jesus, thank you for dying on a cross for me. Forgive me for putting other things ahead of you. Today, I offer myself totally to you. Make me, can we say that last part again? Make me what you want me to be, in Christ's name, amen. And I know that you meant that, and I know God heard it, and I know the process of spiritual transformation has begun for you. Amen. I love each and every one of you. What a joy to be together in the Father's house today. If you need prayer, don't hesitate to come up and just talk to anybody up here that you'd like to. Otherwise, you're dismissed. God bless you, everyone. Enjoy your day.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with Him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our pastors is ready to assist you. Again, the number for Gateway City Church is 408-281-7900. Thank you for listening. If you are ever in the San Jose area, please join us and find out what so many have already discovered. Gateway City Church really is an exciting church that loves life, loves people, and loves God.